you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 12th, 2019. 2 days till Valentine's Day, everyone.
Are you ready?
I'm ready, and I'm ready with a lesson. I worked on it on Monday.
A lesson on Valentine's?
Well, a lesson for the English conversation class.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
I was afraid it was for your wife or daughter. It's like
Holly,
a nightmare.
Here's how you need to be on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's neat for the conversational English.
And I did get to include John 3:16 as one of those questions. Have you heard or ever learned of this most popular verse, one of the most famous verses in the Bible that talks about love?
That's great.
And then just to allow that to be a catalyst of conversation on, no, I've never heard. What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world. And then in a very non-threatening setting in this environment, just talk about that Christians believe that there's a God that loves them and see what that would spur on as far as conversation. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And then other words. I did include, well, for our listener that's like, what is he talking about? Well, on Thursdays we have about, I don't know, anywhere from 40 to about 70 international students that come for free conversational English classes from 10 to noon with about a 10-minute break at 11. And I think we have about, I don't know, 20 to 25 teachers here every Thursday. And it fosters great relationship building and conversation. And all the intermediate students, they can carry on conversations.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
focus on usually about 20 to 30 different words. Like last week, it was on computers. So what's the thumb drive?
And, oh, dear.
You know, different things that we talk about when we talk about computers.
Well, some of those students are really loyal.
Yeah,
they
come very
a lot.
Faithful.
Yeah.
Some, my group of seven or eight, I think there's three different couples in it.
Yeah, I think
so
you
it's kind
said
of
that
fun
the other day.
Where the husband and wives come together. In fact, the wives were coming because the husbands are the visiting scholars and maybe, you know, they're in class.
Yeah.
But the wives have so loved the class that they encourage the husbands to come, and they've now returned like the last four or five times.
Oh, that's great.
So it's
hey, how about some of those conversation hearts? You know, those little hearts they
Holly
sell?
Went out, I forget where she got, five or six different things. So we're going to have
good
a little Valentine's.
Good.
We're going to show them how everyone writes Valentine's and
okay.
then some little Valentine's candies.
Yeah, with the little words on it. I mean, they're English. Yeah.
So we're going to do those. And then, like, I included a number of words about Valentine's, but I also included like a variety of words. One will be kind of a tougher discussion, but the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Because, I mean, it doesn't fit in with Valentine's Day, but it's well known, and it's a thing that happened on Valentine's Day, and I don't know, I included that in with my words.
Tragic.
Yeah, so, well, I don't know. You know, I tried to think of all the different words you hear about on Valentine's Day besides, like, love and care. And
yeah, there was that one time.
Yeah, and that was in Chicago, and that was pretty well known.
Yeah, it was.
Well, anyways, but on the lighter side, the good. Maybe I should
Happy
have pulled
Valentine's
that one
Day.
Out. Oh, well.
No, that's good, too.
Well, that's I maybe didn't give enough thought to all the words that I want to introduce them to, but that was one of them. So.
Yeah, well, they sure do keep coming back.
Well, and they come back for a variety of reasons. One, and you're probably the most listened to program of a book and an author reading her material by the Chinese than anyone. It's kind of interesting. My wife, Holly, for a number of weeks has been posting our Tuesday program, and she posts it on this WeChat, so I think that's accessed by over 300 Chinese. And you know many have come in. In fact, last week, you signed at least one or two books?
Yeah, they've been lining up at the door.
Well, what they're doing is they're holding their book open and following along. So I want to say to our great Chinese listeners that are tuned in for today's edition, we're going to try to read two chapters today out of Memories of an African Son, chapter 38, Flood and Danger. And earlier I was calling it Food and Danger. They have to adjust these
You're
readers.
You're on a diet, I guess.
Yeah, well, we always think about food.
Right.
So we're going to read chapter 38, Flood and Danger, and chapter 39, A Continent, Not a Country.
Well, I sure appreciate Holly doing that. I really do. And I just so appreciate the different students who have commented that it's helping them to look at the book as they listen.
Yeah.
I think that kind of thing is helpful anyway in learning a language.
So thank you for purchasing copies of
this
book
so
and following along and being a part of our morning program. Yeah, she's posted it. And like I said, over 300 people have access to it. Now, I don't know how many, a number have purchased the book. And some were former students of yours. years when you had the advanced class
right,
in here.
Right.
And so it's fun that you're tuned in. So we welcome you to the broadcast of Great News Radio. And
yeah, thank you.
Those of you that haven't purchased your copies yet, we have them available here at the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. They're $15, and some of the students have gotten you to sign them. So if you come during various hours, call ahead. Marianne would be happy to sign a copy and dedicate it to you or a loved one, somebody you want to pass it on to. But it's a fantastic book. I hope you've been enjoying it these many weeks. And today we're going to look at Chapter 38, Flood.
Flood and Danger.
And Danger.
Chapter 38, Flood and Danger. Because so much of our mission equipment had been stolen, we found ourselves in a difficult situation. After discussions with the one other missionary family, and then with our forwarding agent, the person who handled our affairs back in America, it was decided that Ron, my oldest brother, and Bob, our forwarding agent, would make a trip to Ghana to bring replacement equipment. They would bring new tape recorders, radios, a two-way radio, and other necessary items. Funds were raised, with my brother tapping into his savings, and at significant cost to him and his wife, they would come with the needed equipment. They had planned on stopping in Israel on their way to see us, as they knew it might be their only chance to see that country. But that part of their flight was abruptly canceled at the very last moment. The Arab-Israeli Six-Day War had begun.
And people may be unfamiliar with this chapter in the context. We had recently read, in fact, last week, about how your home was broken into.
Right.
And God put a hedge of protection around you.
Yes,
or
he did.
However that worked, whether he provided an angel or that recognition. Kept you in bed so you didn't go out when they were stealing stuff out of your home. And probably, quite possibly, would have killed you as you would have witnessed some things, and they wouldn't have allowed that.
Took a great deal of our mission equipment with them. The night before they arrived in Accra, it began to rain, and we discovered that not only was the house we had moved to not burglar-proof, it was also not waterproof. I woke to the feeling of water falling on me. Rain was pouring through the ceiling like it was a sieve. The water was inches deep throughout the house. I swung my legs over the side of the bed and heard a splash. In moments, we were up, my mother and father gathering every container to start bailing out our home. We carried the water out as it still rained down upon us from the ceiling. People from the Wycliffe translator's house arrived from across the street to help. At the end, we were also pushing the water out with large brooms. We did not sleep that night. We only worked, carrying and pushing gallons and gallons of water outside.
And again, if you were with us a week or two back, not only wasn't it watertight, it was not creature tight, insect tight. So there were lizards and spiders and crawling things. That
they just wander across the table. There they go. Okay. Ron and Bob arrived the next day, and we were so excited to see them. They spent time at our little Bible college and met our students there in Accra. They also went to the northern part of Ghana to visit some churches. My brother contracted an intense tropical illness, possibly a form of malaria, but he fought it valiantly. My father had a policy to eat whatever was put in front of him, no matter how unusual to his own tastes. But on that trip to the north of Ghana, he asked the people to please make allowance for my brother, as he was still recovering. It turned out the Ghanaian people were very gracious regarding such things, as we would learn they always would be. It was our intention to show Bob and Ron some of the sights of Accra, even though the attempted coup was still fresh in everyone's mind. On our sightseeing excursion, we walked close to one of the government buildings housed in one of the old castles near the ocean. Ron was in the middle of taking photos of the old castle by the sea when he found that, as he lowered his camera, he was face to face with a Ghanaian soldier with a loaded gun. The gun was pointed straight at my brother's chest, only inches away. Tensions were high in Ghana due to the attempted coup, and the soldier wanted no pictures taken of any government building, as there was great concern about further anti-government plots. The soldier questioned us and then, seemingly reassured, lowered his gun. He He confiscated the film as a matter of protocol, but the gun was lowered. He was just doing his duty to protect in a time of high tension, and all was well in the end.
Yeah, after all your nerves settled down.
Yeah. I've sometimes wondered how my mother survived all these things so well. I know how I survived. I was terrified. But she walked through it all with aplomb and an uncanny assurance. In the course of a few weeks, she had switched countries. She had survived a fire in the Wycliffe translator's house when a little girl's mosquito netting caught ablaze from the ever-present mosquito coils that burned all night by our beds. She had made it through an attempted government overthrow. Her new home had been burglarized and her daughter's safety threatened. Her home had been completely flooded, with many things ruined, and her oldest son became ill from an intense tropical disease, while also having a high-powered rifle pointed directly at his chest. Her other son was far away, and she missed him so.
And you hadn't contracted malaria yet.
Oh, yeah, I'd already had it.
Oh, and you had, so you didn't mention it here, but yeah, you were already, like a deathbed
experience. I had it very seriously, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that was earlier also.
Yeah, that too. Yet there she was, putting a nice chicken curry dish and date pudding on the table.
Oh, we got food. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And she, my mother could cook. And that chicken curry dish, to this day, Mark, piled up with coconut and bananas and peanuts and chicken curry. It was fantastic. Anyway, back to the book. My mother had faith. And what I learned from her is that it's really not quite so much about faith itself as it is about who your faith is in. There was danger in the air those first months after the attempted coup, but that danger passed, unlike the dangers faced by some who have lost everything, some who faced the guns that were fired at their chests, not lowered. On the way back to America, Ron and Bob did stop in Israel. They were on one of the first flights carrying civilians that landed in that country after the war ended. Tensions were still extremely high there, too. And as they stood at the Wailing Wall, they could hear gunfire in the background. They went to Bethlehem, and on the way were stopped because the road had been mined, and soldiers were trying to demine it. They hired a driver to take them another way, and they were again stopped by soldiers who told the driver to carefully follow his own tire tracks going back, as that road also was full of mines. Guns in Ghana, guns in Israel and the Middle East, and that was just back then, at one point in time. There have been so many wars and revolutions, both before and after those days, in so many various places around this world. Many people are caught in them right at this moment. Perhaps you are caught up in one where you live. We must press forward together toward peace and not leave anyone behind. Our planet seems to grow smaller each day, and we are more and more interconnected. In the Akan language of Ghana, it is called Asmongo. In the Hebrew of Israel, it is Shalom. And in English, peace. And he will be called Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Those are the words of the ancient prophet, foretelling the time of the Messiah's reign. That will be a good day. We continue to pray, Father, for peace. For peace for this earth, for peace in our families, create in us the hope that we can let go of the walls that divide and reach out our hands in friendship and in your peace.
Shalom. And I'm thinking about how often we recite the words, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but also pray for the peace throughout the world. Pray for the peace specifically for that country, that neighborhood, that town, that city, that home that you know of.
Yes, yes, very well said.
Oh, that was chapter 38, titled Flood and Danger. Now we turn to chapter 39, A Continent, Not a Country.
Chapter 39. As so many others have said, Africa is not a country. It is a continent, a very large one. Mm-hmm. The entirety of the landmass of all of China, all of the United States, all of Europe, and all of Australia combined would easily fit within its borders.
I don't think anyone, I mean,
yeah,
with saying
huge.
That. What? China? That's huge.
Yeah.
The United States? Well, that's huge. Europe? Well, that's huge. What? Australia, too?
And more fit. Left over. More left over. With plenty of room for more.
Sure.
It is roughly the same distance to travel from Zimbabwe to Ghana as it is from Anchorage, Alaska to Berlin, Germany. Africa has 3,000 distinct ethnic groups and at least 2,000 languages. I've heard it said that some Africans are far more diverse genetically from one another than a Chinese person is from someone of European descent.
Hmm.
It is a continent of diversity. There is snow in Africa, and there is unbelievable heat. What do the eastern highlands of Nyanga in Zimbabwe, a place of woodlands, moors, flowing rivers, and green hills, have to do with the upside-down wooden canoes drying out on a sun-drenched beach under swaying palm trees on the Gulf of Guinea in Ghana? People around the world, when announcing an upcoming trip, seldom seem to say, "I'm going to North America." They generally say something more specific, as in, "I'm on my way to Canada," or "I'm going to Mexico," or "I'm traveling to the United States." Yet people often just say, "I'm going to Africa," as though it's all one place. I occasionally find myself speaking that way at times as well, even though I've been in a number of African countries and found that they are different from one another, thousands of miles apart. Nations and cultures developed in unique ways, as is true elsewhere around the globe. Ghana and Zimbabwe, the two African countries that I lived in, are certainly quite different from one another in so many cultural ways. But there are also some similarities, such as the love of soccer. I watched large groups of boys in Zimbabwe with only one prized soccer ball between all of them, avidly playing the game. And in Ghana, it was also the beloved sport. Another outstanding thing that Ghana and Zimbabwe shared was the love of movement. Mm. Everywhere there is dancing and movement. At our church services in Zimbabwe, people would always dance. They would dance to the front of wherever we were meeting to put their money in the offering. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
The same was true in Ghana. The women danced in their beautifully patterned dresses as they brought their offerings forward, their gorgeously colored scarves waving gently from side to side. The men followed next with their offerings, walking together and clapping in rhythm to the music. The service then came to a stop. The offering money was counted, and if it was not deemed enough to meet the current needs, the entire offering procession started over. It was so straightforward. There was something refreshing about it. In Ghana, my father and the two other teachers of our little college were graciously invited to travel north to personally meet with the Ashantahene, the powerful monarch of the Asante people at his Manhaya Palace. They were warmly received. My father spoke well of his conversation with the Asantehene, and they were invited back to visit a few more times. The Asantehene sent gifts with the returning men to be given to their children, and one was to be given to my father's child in Accra, and that was me. It was a pretty, delicate gold necklace in the shape of a flower. Sometimes the college teachers would go to the north of Ghana to teach classes. Occasionally, they would fly on one of the converted C-47 U.S. Air Force cargo planes that the government had bought and refurbished. More often, though, they would drive up through rainforest areas in the van that belonged to one of the missionaries. It seemed to be our communal car. It was the only vehicle any of us had. Often on those trips through the lush green forest, colorful birds were spotted in the trees, and scampering monkeys could be seen swinging from branches. The missionary teachers were also invited by a prominent chief, an Omanhene, to visit him in southeastern Ghana. When they arrived, To their surprise, the meeting room was packed with people, filled with more than 100 chiefs from a wide number of places. The chiefs wore brilliantly colored robes, their linguists by their side, along with their ornately carved linguist staffs. The Omanhene, whose palace they met in, wore a white robe and a gold crown. Government officials and news reporters from Accra were also present. Partway through the meeting, the Omanhene stood up, bringing the meeting to an immediate standstill. To the amazement of everyone, he quoted aloud Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. I think everyone present was surprised by his words. He said them with such power, such force, as though a wave of truth had gone out. It was a powerful moment in time, carrying almost the weight of a prophetic moment. He spoke those words that long ago day in front of a large group of chiefs in Ghana. It is true for Ghana, but it is true for every place, every country, every continent. That chief's words, quoting the words of a wise king, King Solomon, are for everyone, everywhere. God, give us all the wisdom, whatever nation we are in, to remember the words of wisdom that our nations will only be as strong as they are righteous. And help us know that ongoing sinful activities can only lead to our weakness and downfall. I pray that you will give us the strength to do what we know is right and best, and will make our nation strong in your sight.
Wow. Interesting. Wonderful chapter. A Continent, Not a Country, Chapter 39, out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center in Lincoln Square. We invite you to stop by and also pick up 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart. Our memorization Mondays continue, and we got another whole order of books in and more coming, so it's great to have those available too. But I highly recommend this book, Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. Well, time is fleeting. We're out of time. Got to go. SRN News won't wait. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Ferns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night.